I have a disclaimer for this sermon this morning. Not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've been preaching here at Samaria Christian Church since the fall. I looked this up, I'm not mistaken, since the fall of 2016. I preached here a couple of times at the end of May for Stan Eisnagel when he was going through health issues. And then in the fall, when he was no longer able to continue, they asked me to fill in for a while. Well, I've been filling in for 7 or 8 years now, I guess. And it's been a huge blessing to me. But in all that time, and I went back and looked, I went through the files, I have never preached on the subject of giving or stewardship. Never one time. And I apologize for that. I should have. It's talked about a lot in the scriptures, and it's not just about giving. It's about our attitude. It's about our faith. It's about our trust in God. You know, we said at the beginning, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Luke 6:38 says this. It's a familiar passage for a lot of people, I know. Luke 6:38, it says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now I have one other disclaimer I'm going to say. We don't need the money. The money, our bank account is in good shape. It's in very good shape. And we are blessed that we're able to support FAME, we're able to support Camp Allendale, we're able to support the Lord's Locker, and we've got money in the bank. We're doing well. So this is not about a great need for us to give. But there is a need for us to give because it measures our trust in God. It measures our faith in God. It measures what we think of when it comes to trusting Him, having faith that He will provide for us when we trust in Him. The word faithful has a very strong spiritual context. It goes to the heart of being true. It goes to the heart of being accountable. It goes to the heart of being trustworthy. It's really at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus Christ. It takes trust to follow Him, to believe in Him, to believe in the gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those of us who call ourselves Christian, and that's probably most of us here today, the word stewardship is usually associated with giving and giving faithfully. I believe that before we can be faithful givers, though, we need to understand the basics of what it means to be a steward. The word steward comes from the word sty. Have you heard of a pig sty? A steward was originally a keeper of the sty. He was a manager of the pigsty. Read an interesting story a few years ago in the Reader's Digest, and I clipped it out. Never thought I'd ever use it, but it fits perfectly. While scouting locations for a popular TV series, an advanced team came upon a perfect house for an action sequence with an impressive home and an extensive lawn and gardens down in southern Florida. Unfortunately, the script called for cars to be spinning and driving through the yard and crashing the yard, tearing up the shrubs and mowing down the flower beds. But the residents in the South Florida home were so infatuated by the possibility of having their home featured on primetime television that they gave their approval on the spot. Days later, the film crew arrived and began shooting. Cars driven by Hollywood stunt drivers were soon tearing up the yard and the shrubs and ripping up the turf. That's when a neighbor called the owners of the house in New York City. The scouts had asked the residents for their permission to film, not realizing that they were only renters. They were only tenants. They had no authority to grant the usage of that property, much less that it would be harmed or destroyed. The owner was not a happy man, and the director was embarrassed and the residents were soon looking for an attorney and a new place to live. Renters are not owners. They are stewards, and the biggest difference between them can be defined in two words: rights and responsibilities. Owners have rights. Everybody say that. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. All right, let's say that whole thing again. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. So this statement, I think, can define our relationship with God. Now, let me say a few things about it. Number one, God owns everything. He's the owner. We're stewards. We have responsibilities, but God's the owner. We are the stewards. It's true of everything that we see and touch and know. That's even true of our physical body. We are tenants living in these flesh and blood bodies God has given us. If you don't believe me, listen to what God's word says about this physical house in which we live. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." We often speak of possessions as our possessions, but the basic fact of Scripture is that we don't own anything. We're just using it throughout our journey here on earth. We're simply stewards of all that God has placed in our trust. Our giving is, in fact, a management of those resources. The days we live, the positions we fill, the jobs we do, the children we nurture, the people we influence, the people that we love, the houses that we inhabit, the things that we use, our money, must all be recognized as actually belonging to someone else. Of these, stewardship of money can be the most challenging. Martin Luther astutely observed, there are three conversions that are necessary: the heart, the mind, and the purse. The heart, the mind, and the purse. David wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Moses wrote, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for he alone gives you the power to get wealth." God gave you the brains and the strength to get wealth. We must not forget Jesus' warning: be on guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. How true that is. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. God's the rightful owner of everything. Real joy comes in acknowledging him and thanking him for allowing us to manage those resources. If you believe that, you'll be faithful in giving. In the United States, where we're blessed to live, we have a prevailing passion for ownership. We own our houses, our cars, our investment portfolios, and everything else we can get our hands on. But in that mindset, there is a great spiritual risk as well. By getting so focused on this temporary world that we forget that our affections should be from above. The inescapable reality is that we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. The old saying is, you never saw a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know, that doesn't happen. You can't take it with you. The good news is that there is a way to send riches ahead, to lay up treasures. That's what Matthew 6:20 says, that we are known by our treasures. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. The wisest of stewards know that the main thing is to pay it forward, that the original pay it forward was to give, to plan, and invest in things that are of eternal, not temporary, value. Remember that first principle: God owns everything. Get that right, and you're well on your way to faithful giving. Number two, God's work must be supported by God's people. God's work must be supported by God's people. In the plan of God, there's several types of giving. Regular giving, in which God directs his people to give according to a specific, consistent, faithful pattern. 1 Corinthians 16:3 says, on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. That's just regular giving, first day of the week. There's responsive giving, in which God calls upon believers to give a proportion of how much he has blessed them. That's saying, the more God blesses me, the more I'm going to give, the more I'm going to give, the more God's going to bless me. There's reliant giving, in which we make a commitment, and that commitment is not based on what we have, but what we believe God will supply. Sometimes they call it faith promise giving. I'll trust in God, and he'll enable me to give. Then there's revelation giving. That occurs when God reveals a specific need and impresses upon us, reveals to us that we should be giving in that way. Acts 20:35 says, Jesus said, these are the only words of Jesus outside of the four Gospels and the book of Revelation. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is a lifestyle, not an activity. It emanates from the very character of God, who is the eternal giver. When we give, we reflect his character, his life, and show that we are partakers of the divine nature. Number three, God holds every person accountable. Daniel Webster, the famous American statesman, was once asked, Mr. Webster, what's the most profound thought you've ever had? Webster said, the most profound, important thought to ever occupy my mind is that I am individually accountable to God. We need to remember that. Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Webster knew the scriptures very well, especially the truth that each one of us will stand before God in the judgment. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Number four, God desires equal commitment, not equal contribution. That's where the principle of a tithe comes in. Biblical stewardship requires equal commitment or equal faithfulness when it comes to giving. Biblical stewardship does not require equal giving. That's why the tithe, 10%, was taught clear back in the Old Testament. It's not legalistically taught in the New Testament, but the principle of it is very good. If God required that of the Old Testament, Jew who was saved only going forward by their animal sacrifices, we should be willing to do at least that much. So some people say, well, it's not fair. Even the tithe is not fair, some people say. Some would say, well, you know, a poor person who lacks a full commitment to the Lord might say, well, that rich person has a lot more left over when they tithe than I do. And I can understand that thinking. But the rich person who lacks a full commitment to the Lord might say, well, I have to give a lot more of my money than the poor person. So, you know, it kind of goes either way. That's why the tithe is fair, though. When I was a kid, I was sitting at the dining room table, kitchen table, and my dad put 10 oranges on the table. And he said, now I want to explain this tithing thing to you. And he said, now, what if I gave you 9 of these oranges and you gave God 1? You think that's a good deal? Oh, yeah, that's a really good deal. God gets 1 and I get 9. That's the principle of the tithe. And then he said, okay, I'm going to give you $1. There's 10 dimes in there. You get to keep 90 cents, and you give God 10 cents. Is that a good deal? Oh, yeah, that's a good deal. I learned that early, and we've always been tithers. Jesus spoke of this very thing when he saw the widow give 2 mites, all that she had, the smallest amount of money that a person could even begin to give. He said, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So true sacrifice always results in a personal gift and perhaps sacrifice. We've had a number of capital stewardship campaigns over the years in places where I've been, mostly at Greenwood Christian, and one of our themes was not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. The real question isn't the amount, but the commitment. Good stewards, for good stewards, what we have left over may cause us to take another look and whatever the needs are for God's work and for those who are poor. Number five, God holds those more responsible to whom more is given. He holds those more responsible to whom more is given. First Chronicles, this is a quote from King David. He was the king of Israel. He was very wealthy. He set an example in giving generously when he gave publicly. In doing that, he set this example for all godly leaders to follow. He said, "Moreover, I've set my affections on the house of my God. Over and above everything, I've provided for this holy temple." This holy house, this special treasure he gave of gold and silver. David gave over and above what he'd already given substantially. He gave from his own personal special treasury, something, a resource he probably valued a great deal. The final result, of course, was that the temple was built by his son Solomon, and the people rejoiced. They gave out of grateful, loyal hearts because, as an example of the leaders, and leaders should be the ones who set that example, they were able to accomplish great things. Now, I'm no King David, but I can tell you that Karen and I, down through the years, have always given at least a tithe and usually above the tithe. I mean, we did that at Greenwood Christian Church. We've done it right here at Samaria Christian Church. We always give at least a tithe. We gave over and above that to some four capital stewardship campaigns. And sometimes we didn't know if God was going to provide that or not, but he always did when we trusted him and stepped out in faith. We've also given to our college, Ozark Christian College. We've given to FAME, the medical mission we support. We've given to TCM, Taking Christ to Millions. We've always given generously, and I'm thankful and thankful for that. I would also confess to you that I've not always been a wise steward of what God's given me. I've given and bought and purchased some things foolishly that I should not have as a wise steward. And I would also confess to you that I've never made, in case you think I was bragging too much on me, on myself, That's not true. No, always been a great steward, and I've never really sacrificed for the work of the Lord. Number six, God blesses the giver in proportionate measure. Now, that's the text that we read just a few moments ago. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. You know, if you believe that, you'd give a lot more. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you give God a thimbleful, he'll give you a bucketful. If you give God a railroad car full, he'll give you a dozen railroad cars full. I mean, God cannot be outgiven. He will not be outgiven. He will be in debt to no man. Give more. It's true. If you promise God that you will trust him, that you will give him 10% of everything, don't you think God would bless you? Don't you think that the more he gives, the more you give, the more he gets, and the more he gives back to you? It's true. That's what proportionate giving will do for those who are trusting him. But giving really says more about our heart. It says more about our attitude. It says more about our faith. It says more about our motives. It says more about the fact that we're either selfish or unselfish. We're either greedy or we're not greedy. We're either generous or
stingy. Then finally,
God wants you to give faithfully. One of my school teachers used to say, the best ability is dependability. Boy, isn't that true? If you owned a business, that would be in your mind, in your thinking, in your heart all the time. The best ability is dependability. I thought it was kind of a cute saying back then, but now I know how important that saying really is. Okay, I got some questions. Here's two questions. Be honest with yourself. Would you say that a person is a faithful employee If they missed work on occasion for no reason other than that they just didn't feel like showing up, yes or no? Just, well, I just don't feel really good today. Yes or no? Most of us, if honest, would say no, that's not faithfulness. The next question will be easier to answer. Would you say that a man or woman who only cheats on their spouse once in a while is faithful? Of course not. The answer of faithful, to be faithful, means 100%. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to God with our lives, our lifestyle. We need to be faithful around this table. We need to be faithful in giving and trusting God. When it comes to giving to the Lord's work, are you faithful? Do you give regularly and consistently? Do you give even when you don't feel like it? Remember, owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. God's the owner of all things, and we are just stewards. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder of how important it is to be faithful, in every area of our life, to be faithful as employees, to be faithful around your table, to be faithful in our giving, to be faithful to our spouses and our family and our loved ones, to be the people that you really want us to be. We know we are saved by faith, and faithfulness is just an appendage to that saving faith that is so important to us. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the generosity of the givers of this in this congregation the last few years. I'm so thankful that we're not juggling bills each month to pay. I'm grateful that we're able to give to others, give to other ministries, other works here and abroad. I'm thankful, Father, that we don't have to worry about paying the light bill. I'm so thankful, and I pray you'll bless everyone who's been such a faithful giver. I thank you, Father, for those who've gone before us, those who built this building originally, those who've been faithful in this location, in this area, this rural area where people have come here to worship you for well over a century. I'm thankful, Father, for those who have borne the brunt of the years that no doubt were difficult for the Cooks and the Waltzes and those families, Father, the Wilkersons, those who've been faithful and steadfast here in their giving and in their support of this congregation. I just pray you'll continue to bless them and their heirs in every way. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. We are so grateful that the heart of the gospel begins with, "You so loved the world that you gave your only Son." May we respond to that love, that sacrifice, by serving you and giving back to you our very best. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation and decision is "Into My Heart," a little chorus. I learned this chorus 100 years ago. "Into my heart, into my heart." Would you stand as we sing?
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Thank you all for being here. How many did we end up with today?
102.
Woohoo! All right, that's good. I can always think about four or five people who aren't here, too. You know? Some dirty rats. No, I'm kidding. I mean that in Christian love. Please remember, we are going to have next Sunday's Palm Sunday, and my sermon is going to be on the cross. And then the following Sunday, of course, is Easter, and you know what it's going to be about if you've ever been to church on Easter before. But hopefully it's something a little bit unique and different. And on Easter Sunday at 9 o'clock over here, maybe 8:45, a little bit before, right at 9, we're going to eat. We're going to have biscuits and gravy and some sweet rolls. And so just be a good time for fellowship. But sign up, if you would. There's a little podium out there in the foyer. Sign your name, and so we'll kind of know how many biscuits and how much gravy we'll need. So that's important. So, well, thank you all for being here, and I'm blessed with this congregation. I can say unequivocally that I'm well overpaid for what I do here, and so very, very blessed. But I thank you all for your support and for your great stewardship. It's been a real blessing. Jerry Johnson is going to say our benediction. So, Brother Jerry, have at it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship, for the opportunity to gather and connect with you and each other. We are grateful for Shan's message on faithful giving and the encouragement he gives us so that we can receive it to you. And we thank you for your peace that surpasses our understanding. As we depart today, we ask that you guide our steps, fill our hearts with your love, and empower us to live lives that honor you, God. May your grace and peace be with us always. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ always. Amen.
Amen. I'll sing the wondrous story.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home of glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.